This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. Kia ora and welcome to the Pet Podcast. Pet is a dark and humorous short story collection that explores our relationships with children, lovers and other animals. The stories in this collection were written by Catherine Van Beek. In episode 16, The Lucky Numbers, aging rockers still hope to hit the big time, read by Kate Orgias.
Michelle woke to the sinking feeling of the last of the air escaping from the blow-up mattress. Danny was still somehow asleep, scented with last night's aftershave and sweat, his long hair burnished by the sunlight filtering through holes in the drapes. Michelle kissed the back of his head and shifted awkwardly onto her back. If she could pretend the sunken mattress was a yoga mat, perhaps she'd get another hour of sleep. She closed her eyes to focus on her breathing, opening them again when a long snore erupted from the floral couch. Connor lay sprawled across it, his cowboy boots poking out from beneath a blanket. The other couch was empty. Buzz must have found somewhere else to crash. Connor snored again, and Michelle got up and sat on the spare couch. She reached for her phone and checked the notifications. Someone had posted a photo of Danny mid-solo, his boot on a monitor, his hair flying. She scrolled to the next photo and froze. It was an image of her, shot from a low angle under harsh stage lights, all eye bags and jowls. She quickly untagged the lucky numbers and then looked at the comments. That's a blast from the past. Whangarei Butter Factory. Bit of a come down from Glastonbury. She heard the rustling of blankets and a gagging sound and looked over to see Connor vomiting into a pot plant. He wiped his mouth, rolled over, and resumed snoring. Michelle stood up, padded through the lounge, and opened the front door, where Bob, the German Shepherd, greeted her with a wagging tail. Michelle filled his bowl with happy dog biscuits and sat in an old armchair on the porch, enjoying the warm sun and the flower-scented breeze. She searched for a tune to describe the moment. F, F sharp, A flat? She sang the notes under her breath. It wasn't right. F, F sharp, B flat? She couldn't remember the last time a song had come easily. The door opened and Danny emerged, holding two cups of coffee. Morning, he said. I thought you were asleep. Connor's snoring could wake the dead. Michelle tucked her glossy hair behind her ears. It was the only thing she still spent money on, and it was worth every dollar. You think it went all right last night? She asked. Are you kidding? If the whole tour's like this, we'll be able to fund our next album. You'll have to write some new songs. I've been busy, okay? Danny raised his hands. I'm not having a go. Michelle took a sip of coffee. You don't think it's a bit embarrassing playing a tour like this? Do I think an album release tour is embarrassing? You know. Danny leant back in his chair and surveyed the quiet street. What's the alternative? He asked. Michelle shrugged. I'm a really good volunteer coordinator. You're also a really good musician. I'll see if the Northern Advocate has anything to say about that. She scrolled through her phone to see if the local paper had posted a review of the show. Nothing. Out of habit, she checked Bob's page. Hey, Bob's cracked 50,000 fans. Hearing his name, Bob plonked himself at Michelle's feet. She scratched the dark fur between his ears. The studs on his collar spelt H-A-P-P-Y. How many do the lucky numbers have? Let me see. 586. Up from last week. They finished their coffees and carried their gear from the hallway into the hybrid. Connor stumbled from the house into the light, holding his snare drum. "I need kombucha," he groaned. He coaxed his drum kit into his Holden and slammed the boot. "Where's Buzz? I need a kombucha." "Where's Buzz? I need to get kombucha." He flopped into the driver's seat and pounded the horn. "Beep, beep, beep, kombucha! Beep, 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 kombucha! Beep, beep, beep!" "Give it a rest," said Danny. Bob barked and Michelle turned to see Buzz standing at the front door, his body entwined around one of the young female flatmates. "Thanks for letting us crash here," said Michelle. "Any time," said the woman. "I'm a big fan." Buzz scuttled down the steps with his bass guitar. Michelle walked up to the woman and handed over an album and a $20 note. "For a new pot plant," she said. Danny drove and Michelle reclined in the passenger seat, her ankles crossed on the dashboard, red toenails glinting in the sun. She wondered if she looked cute in her SPCA op shop dress. The volunteers had put it aside for her especially. An earthy, urgent song played on the radio and she tapped her fingers over the retro flower pattern. "That's Ange," said Danny. "That's Ange on the bass." Michelle stopped tapping. "I didn't know she was with these guys." "Listen," said Danny, and they listened to the growl and hum of the low notes. Unmistakable. It was a good song. Catchy. Bittersweet. The perfect accompaniment to a late summer drive. "They've been selected for the winery tour this year," said Danny. "Have they?" Michelle frowned. "Good for them." From the back seat, Bob barked along in time with the chorus. "Show off," said Danny. Michelle pictured Ange playing the song, her black fringe falling over her eyes, her fingers flying. They hadn't talked much since London. She'd have to send a message of congratulations. Sometime. "Hey, do you remember," Danny asked, "back in the day, there was that guy who went to all the shows we played in Auckland?" Michelle smiled. "The tall guy with the greasy hair. That's the one. He always stood in front of the speakers, and when he got really into it, he put his hand in the air." Danny grimaced. "He must have killer tinnitus. I hope he's still rocking out somewhere." They drove past a white church with a red roof. A roadside stand with eggs for sale. A wayside shrine. "We've lost Connor and Buzz," said Danny. Michelle swiveled around to look out the rear window. "Do you think they'll get through the whole tour in that bomb?" she asked. "Nope," said Danny. "It'll conk out on the desert road or Takaka Hill." Michelle picked up her phone to check the Northern Advocate. Still no review. She clicked a notification to see that someone had tagged her personal profile to the unflattering photo. She untagged herself and scrolled back down through the comments. "You'd think she'd be better preserved with all that pickling juice she used to drink." They arrived at Lee in the early afternoon. The old sawmill had the rich timber walls and warm feeling they remembered from years before. "We haven't had a lot of pre-sales," said the venue manager, "but sometimes people turn up on the night. How did last night go?" "We got a lot of the old fans," Danny said. "Speaking of old fans," the venue manager fished a poster from behind the bar and unfolded it. "You guys played at my orientation back in the day, back when you were the Jonathans. Would you mind?" He extended it to Danny with a pen and a smile. "Sure," said Danny. He signed his younger face and passed it to Michelle. "I can't believe I managed to dig it up," said the manager. "The Jonathans were the shit. Didn't you go to England and get a record deal? Did your drummer die or something?" "A few things went down in England," Danny said. They heard the sound of wheels on gravel, Must be Connor and Buzz, said Michelle. She signed beneath her wide, hopeful eyes and handed the poster back. When's soundcheck? The venue manager gave a thumbs up to the sound engineer down the other end of the bar and got a thumbs up in reply. No time like the present. Danny played his Arctic White Stratocaster as though channeling a muse. Michelle wielded her Les Paul like a machine gun. Connor tickled the drums with brushes, roughed them up with cartwheel mallets, and bashed them with sticks. Buzz played his bass through three mighty distortion pedals. Michelle and Danny sang together, their voices rising and falling and weaving around each other like magic. The venue manager danced in a dusty shaft of light, giving his stiff legs a workout in the wide open space. You guys are banging, he called. Afterwards, there was time for a trip to the beach. Connor and Buzz meandered over the rocks in their black jeans. Michelle and Danny walked with Bob along the lace edge of the water. They heard laughter behind them and turned to see a family with two little girls approaching. That looks like the singing dog from the ad, one of the girls exclaimed. He is the singing dog from the ad, Michelle said. Can he sing for us, please? Please, please, please. It was a well-worn routine. Danny tapped out the rhythm on his jeans and Michelle sang the tune, with Bob barking in all the right places. If you eat happy and you know it, bark along. If you eat happy and you know it, bark along. If you eat happy and you know it and you really want to show that you love happy and you know it, bark along. Bob rounded the song off with two jaunty barks and then grinned, knowing he'd done well. What do you say, girls? Said their mother. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. The girls ran off, elated. Well, someone's got two more fans, said Michelle. We'll make some new fans too, just you wait. They watched as Connor and Buzz took photos of starfish in the rock pools, and then took photos of each other pretending to be starfish. They're young enough to be our bloody sons, said Michelle. Those clowns, said Danny, and he pulled Michelle in for a kiss. Michelle and Danny shared dinner, and then a pot of peppermint tea, while they waited for people to arrive. Connor and Buzz stood at the bar, as consciously relaxed as a pair of male models. 20 or so punters floated in and hung around the edges of the wide wooden room. Michelle ran the figures in her head. If most of these people had brought tickets, they'd at least be able to pay the sound engineer. We should start putting Bob on the posters, she joked. Good thinking, said Danny. We should make him the lead singer. Michelle smiled fiercely. There'd been a time when she'd been in demand as a session musician. Now everyone seemed to want helium voices and animal sounds. I'm going to touch up my lippy. She crossed the empty dance floor, acknowledging the woman working on the door as she walked past. A small group of people tried to sneak in without paying, and the woman held out her tattooed arms to stop them. Michelle heard the group's indignation over the background music. $20 for a ticket. But that's like two beers. Michelle pushed open the doors to the toilets, locked herself in a cubicle and sat down. She elongated her spine and focused on calming her breathing. She placed two fingers between her eyebrows and tried Nadi Shodhana Pranayama. She gave up, reached into her handbag and pulled out her phone. Finally, the Northern Advocate had posted their review. Once they seemed destined to become shooting stars, but Danny Hannafin and Michelle Chereau faded from view, it began. You might not remember their names, but if you've ever rung your utilities company and been placed on hold, you'll recognise their vintage tunes. Michelle dropped the phone back into her handbag and put her head in her hands. She'd squandered 2.5 weeks of her precious annual leave for this. They could have gone to Fiji and snorkelled aimlessly like normal people. Instead, they were still chasing dreams that were more easily achieved by their own dog. She blotted her eyes with toilet paper, creating a musical score of damp, black smudges. A group of women entered the room, and Michelle left to free up the stall. She stepped back out into the bar and found herself caught up in a whirlpool of people. Danny smiled and beckoned her over. "Not a bad crowd," he said. Connor and Buzz refilled their beers as more people drifted in. Many of them strangely familiar, some of them in Jonathan's t-shirts. They brought with them toddlers and bright baby earmuffs, sprightly elderly parents, and the occasional reluctant teenager. By the time the rhythm section had downed their drinks, the venue was full. The sound engineer nodded to the band, and they walked up the steps to the stage. Connor sat behind his kit and spun his drumsticks, eliciting a coo of admiration from the woman at the front. Danny and Michelle strapped on their guitars and turned to face the crowd. Danny grinned and gave Michelle a nudge. "Look," he whispered. Positioned in the front row, directly in front of the speakers, was the tall man with the greasy hair. It was a good crowd, and they were faithful. They clapped, they hollered, they shouted for Danny, they shouted for Michelle. They didn't ask for a Jonathan song until the very end, when they asked for it in the encore. "Play Shooting Stars," they yelled. As though they'd rewound a tape, Michelle and Danny were back in time, playing the yearning, poppy song that had been top of the charts so long ago. "We'll get a ticket, catch that plane, a light trail in the sky," sang Michelle. "You won't miss me, I'm not the same, I left my name behind," sang Danny. "Fortune seekers, shooting stars, will our light burn bright enough," they sang. "The universe we yearn for is just asteroids and space dust." The man with the greasy hair swayed back and forth in front of the speakers, one hand raised in the air. Afterwards, Bob joined the band in the garden bar, where he lounged by the brazier and accepted snacks from starstruck patrons. The tattooed woman presented Danny with the cash box and the remaining albums. "You two made $2,000 on the door," the woman said, "and I'll get an album too." "On the house," Danny said, generous with success. The woman disappeared in the direction of Connor and Buzz. Danny leant back, his arms behind his head. Michelle jiggled her legs restlessly. "Another drink?" she asked. She stood and followed the row of coloured lanterns into the pub. She ordered, took the drinks, and stepped back out into the garden. "Hi," said a voice. Michelle turned around. With his back to the light emanating from the pub windows, the owner of the voice was a tall, faceless shadow. "Hi," said Michelle. "Great show." "Thanks. Thanks for coming." She stepped away from him, but he spoke again. "I interviewed you on student radio, back when you were the Jonathans." He tipped his head to one side. The orange glow from the lanterns picked up the luster of his long, greasy hair. "You interviewed us." They both spoke at once. "I looked different back then. I was probably drunk," he smiled. "I was 25 and I thought I was going to become a DJ." "What did you become?" "A building inspector," Michelle nodded. "That's probably more important." "Look, I'm sure you hear this all the time." He cleared his throat. "I just want to let you know that your music means a lot to me." "Well, cheers," Michelle said. She raised her glass and clinked it against his. "Not just your old stuff, your new stuff too. Your lyrics are amazing." Michelle looked up at him. There was a mark on his cheek that could have been a dimple or a scar. "Would you like to have a drink? With me and the band?" "I'd love to, but..." He turned and nodded towards a woman holding a sleepy, earmuffed child. We've got to hit the road. But anyway, thanks. He turned away, seeming to trail a melody behind him. C, D, C, B flat. Michelle put the drinks down and opened her recording app. Against the backdrop of talking and laughter, she sang a slither of a song in her sweet, haunted voice. She headed back to the brazier and sat beside Danny. "What does it feel like to be a legend in action?" he asked, putting his arm around her. "I take it you haven't read the review." "What are you talking about? It was great!" Michelle scowled. "It said we'd faded from view." "You have a bad habit of not reading things all the way through," Danny said. He picked up his phone and recited from it. "Making a welcome comeback with new band The Lucky Numbers, National Treasures, Hannafin and Shiro rocked out to a full house. Get along to see these legends in action if you can." He looked up and grinned suggestively. "Want to get your hands on a National Treasure?" he asked, and Michelle snorted orange juice out through her nose. The music changed, and Bob got to his feet and barked rhythmically. "What are you doing, boy?" Michelle asked. Danny laughed. "It's Ange. It's Ange's song on the sound system." "You're a traitor, Bob," Michelle leant against Danny, her head on his shoulder. "Who cares? That'll be us next year."
The Pet Podcast was written by Catherine Van Beek and produced at ORFM, Otapoti, Dunedin. Music is by Jolan Mulholland. The intros and outros are read by me, Tina Turntables. Thank you to Creative New Zealand and New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible. You can listen again and find further episodes of Pet at ORFM. That's oar.org.nz. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.